Derek, you know what you do when you're traveling for work, it's the holiday season, and you have not been able to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the Canes lose consecutive games on the left coast?
You look at the box score and then make things up and then get on the podcast and talk authoritatively about it.
No. You book guests who can talk authoritatively about it. Well, that way you can ask very, very high-level questions. folks, that's what you have to look forward to tonight. Two of our favorite guests, Sarah Sivian from The Athletic, more specifically The Athletic Carolina, traveling with the team, joined us from the West Coast earlier today. And then one of our absolute favorites, forward hat wearing, backward hat wearing, I don't care which way he's wearing his hat, the guy who basically made a living off of hating his team because they're ruining his life. Steve Dangle joined us to talk a little bit about the upcoming Maple Leafs game and some Nylander kid.
Yeah, and Mike, I just want to point out that the Canes are in Anaheim for a tilt Friday night. By the time those people are listening to it, it'll probably be tonight.
Yes.
If you're listening after that game, then we already played Anaheim and yay win or boo loss. But I think Corey Perry's vibe, whether or not he's healthy, I could not care less, but I think his vibe may have messed with our connection with Sarah a little bit. So yeah. I blame Corey Perry for this, so do not direct your hate towards us, towards Sarah, because she's a delight, directed at Corey Perry.
Actually, Derek, I think you're actually wrong here, as usual. It's Nick Ritchie's head.
Oh, that's true. It is
creating interference.
It is tall enough to mess with the towers.
Yes. So thank you guys again for listening.
Nick Ritchie, the first hockey player to be fined by the FCC.
Oh, gosh. Derek, you dropped a stat on me earlier about Jordan Staal. What was that stat again?
Yeah, so in an article I wrote today over at section328.com, yes, we do more than just house all of Meg's hurricane watches. We do, from time to time, write blog posts that I hope you certainly read. But I was looking at the power play and the lack of efficiency of our power play overall. They've been better of late, sure, but Jordan Staal has been an albatross on that unit. In 69 really nice minutes on the power play, Jordan Staal has no goals, one assist, for a points per 60 of 0.87. There's only one forward in the NHL who has played at least an hour on the power play who has a lower points per 60 than Jordan Staal.
Ryan Reeves.
He has not played an hour on the power play.
Tom Wilson.
He has not played an hour on the power play.
JP Dumont.
Not in the league.
Okay.
It is a player who Mike and I, neither of us would have bet confidently that he was still in the league. Derek Stepan.
He's alive?
Apparently, and he is scoring at the same rate almost as Jordan Staal, but just slightly worse. So he's the only player who is scoring fewer points per his time on the ice than Jordan Staal on the power play. And for some reason, we continue to run Jordan Staal on the power play. Obviously not tomorrow night in Anaheim because Jordan Staal has a concussion, so I'm not meaning to speak ill of the injured, but I'm meaning to speak ill of the coach who has been playing Jordan Staal so much. So if you are curious about some of the things behind why the Canes are so bad on offense, I believe they have two goals in their last three games. I looked at a few things. One, the team's Corsi, because, boy, it's nice that we're out shooting everybody, but, ooh, it sucks when your shot percentage is the worst in the NHL. Our power play usage, and does this team just have a lack of talent? You know, look at guys like Phil DiGiuseppe and Brock McGinn and the constant...
Our client!
So, thank you, Mike. And the constant overslotting of certain players on this team. So check it out, section328.com. Hope you'll give it a read. And that was my stat with a lot of filler around it.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day.
Do we have to email Dan Patrick a nickel?
Probably.
If I could fax him some apple juice.
I do not ever pay full price for apple juice. I only pay half price for apple juice.
That's good.
Happy. Happy in Paraguay. For those of you who got that reference, you're welcome. enjoy pausing right now and just going to watch that video. So, Derek, here's what was shocking to me, and I think we mentioned this later in our interview with Steve. The Carolina Hurricanes have not scored a 5-on-5 goal since the last time we won a game in Montreal. So what I'm hearing is, I am no fancy stats expert, but without scoring 5-on-5 goals, it makes it difficult to actually win road and or home games.
I've heard that rumor as well. So for as long as the power play was the anchor to this team's offensive production, now it's 5-on-5. Like, I feel like it's, you know, if you're a golfer listening to this podcast, you can relate to this. It's like, when the putter's working, your driver sucks. When you're hitting drives down the middle of the fairway, you can't make a putt outside 5 feet. It's like, why can't everything click one night? Why can't that happen? Mike, why can't we have nice things?
I was going to say, because we're not allowed to have nice things. We do have nice things. I'm pretty sure they're called Jeff Skinner and Elias Lindholm. What? I said that just to anger Pat Clark.
Mike, you know he has the power to take our site down.
I know.
Don't anger the Pat.
Pat DGAF Clark. It's amazing what happens when talented players get to play with talented centermen. The dearth of people to be able to produce offensively in this organization at the center position, I get it. There are probably only 50 great centers on the planet.
That's fewer than two per team.
Unfortunately, there are some teams that have three, which means we have none. And, you know, I love Jordan Staal. I think he is a good guy. I think he's good on this team, running a third line.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, maybe Saku Mainalainen, who got called up from Charlotte today, will be the answer, Derek. I mean, maybe.
Here's the way he's the answer. Mike Smith tweeted it from practice, the line that because Jordan Staal is injured, Sebastian Aho's returning to center. Those are two things that could absolutely be mutually exclusive, right? Sebastian Aho was performing so well at center in the first 20 or so games this season. He was in the top 10, 15, whatever it was in the NHL in scoring. Since he's moved back to wing, we're going the other way around. So I don't know what it is. And I know you asked Sarah what it is about this organization that keeps moving talented centers to the wing. But I like the fact that Aho's going to play wing because Jordan Staal's not here. But the man lion, I hope he's not playing with Aho and Turbo. I don't understand that. I'd much rather see a guy like Andrei Svechnikov get bumped up to that top line based on how well he's been playing, and let the man lion, and I think he is a big boy, let him go out there and bang some bodies around on a lower line.
Basically he's a griffin, right?
Does he have wings? If he played for Detroit, maybe.
So, you know, Twitter question. If Saku Mantalainen had wings, would he be a griffin?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah, there we go.
So lots of guests tonight, lots of conversation, your cheat mail, Derek, a beer, I don't know.
A bow, a beer, a female beer?
Yes, we'll try to keep this one under 60 minutes for you guys.
Ha.
Yeah. Here's the good news, Derek. The holidays are coming up, and you know what the holidays mean? Plenty of time to record extra podcasts.
I thought you were going to say plenty of time to click the buy on Amazon button at section328.com and do all your Amazon shopping that way. And help support the folks at 328 without costing yourself an extra dime. I thought that's what you were going to say, Mike.
You know what else I was going to say?
What's that?
Hit that damn X button.
Oh, that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. Brought to you by the good folks at Bottlemix. Bottlemix, they sell beer. We drink beer. Also brought to you by Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is at @Caniac_Realtor.
Dawn respects the underscore.
Yes, she does. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we are still a proud part of the Sports Channel 8 family. I thought you might have gone Jingle Bells there, Derek.
Yeah, we still have time.
We do.
I hope we'll record another podcast between now and Christmas.
As do I. And also to all of our Jewish listeners out there, happy Hanukkah to you guys. Happy holidays to everybody. And we do have some dear friends of the podcast who have recently lost some family members. We don't want to call them out, but kind wishes to you guys. We hope everybody is doing very well, and you are in our thoughts and prayers. So, with that, Derek, no easy way to transition to the Canes losing horribly on the West Coast. So let's go to tonight's first Don from Fathom Realty guest line guest.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
And Derek, I am happy to welcome back to the podcast. And I feel like this is her first official time on the recorded podcast. She joined us her first week in Raleigh. I feel like we might have just ambushed her. Like, Sarah, please come on. She was on the live podcast. But we welcome joining us from beautiful, sunny, never rainy, everything's always great, California.
Oh, my God.
Sarah Simeon of The Athletic. Sarah, welcome officially to Cheaters Never Win. First question, why, Sarah? Why? Why is this happening to us?
You're going to have to be more specific with why, what, and five questions.
I don't know if you've met Kane's Twitter or not, but the question of just why... why us is just so hard. as we went live on this podcast, the NHL alert came over that Jordan Staal is out indefinitely in concussion protocol after taking a hit last night in San Jose. What's the feeling around the team that feels like they're a little bit of the walking wounded? McElhinney left practice early, Staal's out, Pesci still on the mend. How's the morale in the locker room?
I mean, it's just, I don't think it's about the injuries and morale in the locker room right now. It's about the can't score a goal. That's more of the reason, the mentality in the locker room right now. But you know what? I mean, it's actually, obviously I get positive, but I think it's a good thing that they are like enjoying practice and stuff like that. But I mean, they're not lying that, oh, whatever. I mean, Justin Falk was really an interesting interview last night. Just the way he said, I mean, I wish I had a more interesting answer, but we got to get more traffic to the net. I mean, he was being more of a realist than maybe sometimes they are. So that's kind of it. But also, I don't know, a lot of injuries randomly at once. It feels like that was a lot to happen today.
Yeah, having two of the top six guys out now between Staal and Ferland, both for who knows how long, because concussions aren't exactly an ankle injury where it's like, okay, take 6 weeks and you're back and you should be 100% within 10, 12 weeks, whatever it is. So they say they need to get more traffic. Is there anything that you've heard from this team for how they plan to get more traffic? Because it sounds kind of nice, like, all right, here's our plan. Now, how do we do it? Because Ferland and Staal are two of the bigger bodies that in theory could park their keister in front of the net. So what are you hearing the Canes plan on doing about this issue? Hello, Sarah?
We've either lost Sarah or Sarah has joined Canes Twitter permanently and has no answer for how we get bodies to the front of the net. We're going to address these technical issues, see if we can get Sarah back on the line. And Derek, I think we have Sarah back on the line if you want to hit your question again.
All right, let's hope technology doesn't fail us yet again. So, Sarah, you mentioned that Justin Falk and some other folks were talking about how the Canes need to get more traffic to get these 5-on-5 goals, but with bigger bodies like Ferland and Staal now out for who knows how long, what are the Canes planning to do to get that traffic and hopefully generate some even strength goals?
Well, you know what? Justin Williams is pretty good. I know he gets criticized for a lot of things, but he's always, when there are traffic net front goals, it's usually Igor Svechnikov that's around the net kind of making that happen, I feel. So they are two good guys to be in front of the net, and they were working on that during practice. I mean, just having, it, even if it's not the guy intending to be the shot, like a screener or something like that, and just, I think just making more of an emphasis and deliberately doing that is going to help them.
Well, and Sarah, you know, one of the things we've seen your some of your counterparts over at The Athletic, Dom Cijin,
judicial system,
who is great at statistics, has horrible taste in music, but is
hello.
Are you still with us, Sarah?
Hello.
Yeah, I just heard taste in music.
Oh, yeah. Dom has horrible taste in music. But he had an article earlier this year in crossing the Royal Road and being able to get the goalies to move from left to right. And if one of the teams that you formerly used to cover in the Boston Bruins has done that so well for years with, you know, Bergeron and Marchand, do the Canes lack the talent, or do they lack the want or the gumption to do some of that cross ice stuff that it takes, that some of the harder teams in the NHL to play against seem like they have such a knack for?
Well, the thing is, and I think about this a lot, Patrice Bergeron is the best, other than, I can think of a handful that would contend this, the best two-way forward in NHL history. So you can't just be like, I've been trying to compare, and you just can't because he's the best. So yeah, he does that and he makes it look easy, but I mean, especially when defenses are more aware of that the Royal is a thing and they want to give zone and stuff, that is tough to get to maybe, especially someone like Aho, who is doing well at center, but he's new to the position. And I mean, it's you can have it all to be able to make those direct cuts to that center of the ice like that. And I mean, it's harder than it looks, but it's important and it's effective if you can do it.
Sarah, I hate to correct you, but I can think of one Boston Bruin that immediately comes to mind who is a better two-way forward than Patrice Bergeron. And apparently you're forgetting just how good of a back checker Rick Nash was.
People forget.
Sorry, I almost didn't get through that sentence.
Hashtag never forget.
People forget about, oh my God, in Boston people were so mad because you couldn't score a million points in two games. Oh my God, that was a bad experiment there.
So since you've brought up Boston, we've brought up fan rage, one of the questions that we got for you via the Bird Machine was which fan base was worse, but I'd also like to say more interesting, because that could open it up a little bit more. Bruins Twitter or Canes Twitter?
Well, okay, this is how I picture it, and I don't think any is necessarily worse or better than the other one, but I think Canes Twitter is looking for a reason to be happy, and Bruins Twitter is looking for a reason to be mad. Like, Bruins Twitter has no idea how good they have it with the generational talents that they do, and it's like nothing's good enough. And then Canes are like, please, just don't let us be the fifth backup goalie that, like, just please, you just want to let me get average goaltending. So it's completely different.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's hard. Sarah, let's talk about. You know, the brighter side of things, and I understand you've got an interview coming up with Adam Fox, and we got a couple of questions from Twitter about Adam Fox. Is he legitimately lined up to potentially get the Hobie Baker this year? And do the Canes actually have an opportunity, you think, to sign him and join this already fairly deep defensive core?
Okay, first of all, yes, the Canes have an opportunity to sign him, and I talked to him, and I'm going to write about that on The Athletic, and then probably tonight, so I'll give the full answer there. But Hobie Baker, I mean, it's way, way, way too early to tell, and in college hockey, anything can have to change and just totally throw people off, and I do think they like giving Hobie Baker's two defensemen when they can, though. That's just something that I feel like the Hobie Baker committee likes. And he's average, like, it's just absolutely insane. Like, I picked up the phone today to call him, and I was just like, is this the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Fox? Like, I cannot believe he's averaging over 2 goals per game, I mean, points per game as a defenseman. But, yeah, they put him on the power play finally, and he is just such a playmaker.
That points per game total is just absurd. I wonder how long that can last. If it lasts a whole season, I haven't looked at the stats, but that's got to be some kind of a record for a defenseman, I would assume.
Best since Ryan Murphy? Question mark?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. Unless it's Hobie Baker.
So you mentioned the Canes' optimism, and Canes fans, among other teams looking at the Flyers or others, were very optimistic until 5 p.m. Saturday, December 1, about, ooh, maybe we can get William Nylander to come here. Did you hear anything about how serious the talks ever got between Toronto and Carolina, and if there are still any opportunities for a trade that may be down the road? Because I wouldn't be shocked if William Nylander gets traded sometime in the next 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't ever seem to me like Nylander was seriously not going to sign with the Leafs. I mean, just the way it worked out, I think you could just kind of, anything could have happened, but I don't know. I've heard a lot of things. Who knows what's actually true and what's not, but he ended up signing with the Leafs, and Dubas said that I know GMs lie all the time, but he said he's not going to trade Nylander while he's the GM of the Leafs. So if that must get fired, I can't really see that happening. And, I mean, I think the Canes were in it as much as anybody else was, but that it didn't matter really what they did, I don't think. And the trade might be on the horizon. I know that they've been looking for a forward, even if it's not Nylander, so we'll see about that.
Well, you know, and you know, Sarah, you actually brought that up in your article today over on The Athletic, theathletic.com. If you're listening to this podcast and do not yet subscribe to The Athletic, stick around to the end of this interview. Sarah will tell you how to get a 40% off discount to read all of the amazing stuff that's on The Athletic. It is a daily read for me. And you end your article today with, what if there were an easy way? You know, GM Don Waddell's looking for a goal scorer, and getting some help from outside might be easier than actually getting it from somebody who's already in the system. We as Canes fans have looked
that we get mad at people. I think we get mad at people that are asking things. They're doing things that aren't supposed to be asked of them to fill a need that maybe the Canes need to fill. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, no, Clark Bishop, you can argue, is he supposed to be on an NHL roster or whatever, but that's his opportunity that he's taking. You can't get mad at him for that. And I think he's not, the Canes aren't living or dying by if he scores. It has to be the names that are supposed to actually scoring, you know? It's people like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like when people would get mad at a player because he makes a certain amount of money. Like, no, be mad at the GM for that one if they're overpaying a player in your mind. A lighter question that I wanted to ask you, because I think we may have thrown you a curveball when the live podcast was not recorded, so no one knows, but you were brand new to the area and hadn't yet had the opportunity to experience the wide array of delicious beers from the Raleigh area, and you've shared on Twitter that you're ready for the beer question now. So Sarah, what local beers in the Raleigh area are you quite fond of?
I'm trying to taste a lot of them. I'm not exactly sure what, I don't even really remember, honestly. I haven't been around Raleigh that much. I just moved into an apartment, but if you want to give me some recommendations, feel free.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We are full of recommendations. We prefer beer in a glass. And then directly into our pie holes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As one of our 328 family, Oliver, loves to say, booze goes in the booze hole.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does. Sarah, last question of the hockey-related note, and again, we appreciate you coming on the podcast this evening. One of the players that was going to, quote-unquote, be counted upon to deliver depth at the center position this year was Martin Natchez, who has been basically shuttled off to Charlotte, and while had a few games in Charlotte, is now also being tested on the wing. Another in the line of great centers drafted to potentially play on the wing for the Hurricanes. Do you have any updates on kind of where the Canes are viewing Martin Natchez and kind of his progress in Charlotte? With Jordan Staal going down, should we maybe anticipate he coming back up, or who's going to fill that empty position left by Jordan Staal's absence?
Well, they're calling up, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It just happened. And there's so many people on this team with names that are hard to pronounce, but that's who there's, I think they're putting all back at center. He's centering Martinuk and, Teravainen at practice today, so that's what's going to happen. But
I see Saku Mainalainen coming up to backfill that role.
Yeah.
So the savior.
Yeah, the savior. I don't really know. Natchez, they have him on wing, and when he went right to wing, he scored 4 goals in 5 games. I mean, Ra's honest about it that he doesn't. He's not a fourth line checker. But it's like, where do you fit him in then? I don't know. Like, if I had the answers to this, I'd be an NHL coach. But I guess he has to wait for an opportunity that is more adequate to his skill set.
Well, much like all of Kane's fandom and Kane's Twitter, we are waiting for a team adequate of our skill set. Sarah Sivian, tell folks where they can read all of your amazing stuff and how do they get a discount to go subscribe to The Athletic immediately. Like, pause this podcast right now and go subscribe.
TheAthletic.com/Carolina and TheAthletic.com/NHL Future. We're doing a promo right now. It's 40% off for the week.
40% off this week only, NHL Future. Great stuff happening over at The Athletic. If you also happen to be a sad Panther fan like I am, you can read Joe Person's stuff over there. You could read Dom's statistics stuff. Some hack named Tyler Dello is over there. And, you know, it's just...
And I'm sure you can read a myriad of think pieces about Urban Meyer's career if you're like me.
Yes. Urban Meyer. I don't know where to go here from Sarah.
Actually, I do. One last thing, Sarah, because you are a Nittany Lion, did you smile a little when Urban announced his retirement?
No. All the college football has been stuffed out of me, honestly. Like, I think they're all bad people. So I can't, it's like, I don't even, like, why did he get to retire? I don't know. That's my hot take. Like, I don't know. These people and their, just pay me the players, and I'll hang up and listen again.
That is the right answer.
There you go. Sarah, going to hang up and listen. Sarah, I want you to know, we take a bullet for you. Thank you for coming on this week's edition of the podcast. You are the best. And, folks, again, theathletic.com/Carolina. Go sign up. Read Sarah's great coverage. She is such a breath of fresh air on the Carolina Hurricanes press row. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so big thanks to Sarah joining us from the Left Coast. Again, our apologies for the technical difficulties, Derek.
Yeah. Who can we blame? We tried to blame Nick Ritchie. We tried to blame Corey Perry. I don't know. Blame one of those guys. But thank you to Sarah
if
for
John
being
Gibson
fantastic.
Were running this podcast, it would have been perfect. John Gibson, an American hero, future 22-time Vezina winner. That might be a record.
I don't know what the odds are through, like, Bovada or anybody else, but I would bet heavily against him winning 22 Vezinas.
Speaking of things we bet heavily against, let's go to Toronto. Derek, permission requested to treat our next guest as a hostile witness.
I don't know. He's so nice. I don't know if you can treat him hostile.
I don't know. I've seen him turn the hat backwards. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Dangle coming to us live from the center of the hockey universe in Toronto. Steve, thanks for joining us, sir. First question, what's it like
to have a... Don't you try to butter me up by calling me nice. Give Curtis McElhaney back, you rotten bastard.
Oh, all right, Mike, treat him as hostile as you desire.
So I have an idea. First, okay, Nazem Kadri, Curtis McElhaney. What do you think? Let's do this.
I agree. They're great teammates. I agree that they would make great teammates on the Toronto Maple Leafs once again. It's not happening, man.
I know. Congratulations on the signing of one Mr. William Nylander, who we were sure as hell thinking we were going to get here in Carolina. How did those last few hours play out with Toronto, and what's the feeling? Are you guys going to win the next 82 consecutive games?
Well, you know what? They got a weak Detroit team tonight, and it's Nylander's first game back, and that's got loss that people are going to overreact to written all over it. So I'm not getting giddy just yet. You know, Nylander, Matthews, Marleau was the plan for that line heading into the season. And that's what it is now. But you got Marleau, who's like 39 or 40. You got Matthews. You got to remember, this is only his third game back after injury. And this is Nylander's first game of the season. So, that line isn't exactly what it was predicted to be at the beginning of the season. I think there's going to be a little rust, but ultimately I'm happy, man. I'm excited. It's weird for me, right? Because I'm a fan, but like I'm also like in the media business too. So they got me to co-host Hockey Central Saturdays. It's a radio show nationally in Canada. Every Saturday night, and the show starts at 5. So imagine my panic when Nylander wasn't signed at 4:55. I just sort of looked across at my co-host Rob Pizzo. I'm like, "So what do you want to talk?" And then about 2 minutes later, he was signed, and all of a sudden we had a show.
So you got Austin Matthews back. You've got Nylander coming back tonight. All is well, and I could talk about how good your hockey team is, but since you wanted to start yelling at us about getting Curtis McElhaney, I'll ask you this question. Which is going to age worse, Nikita Zaitsev contract or Austin Matthews hairline?
Ooh, boy. You know what? Nikita Zaitsev's contract is bad right now. So I'm going to say that one's going to age poorly. The only saving grace is the cap is going to go up. I don't know if the amount of Matthews' hair will. Listen, maybe he's like the opposite of Samson, and the less hair he has, the better goal scorer he becomes. So, you know what? Matt Sundin was a big bald Leaf, and he did all right. So I'm not too worried about Mr. Matthews and his beautiful hair.
The hair is beautiful. The hair cannot keep up with the fashion sense. We look forward to him bringing that fashion sense down here to Carolina next week, December 11th. Your Toronto Maple Leafs take on our Carolina Hurricanes. Steve, give us hope. Why can the Carolina Hurricanes actually score a 5-on-5 goal against the Toronto Maple Leafs when they have not scored one since the second period of when they played the Montreal Canadiens now 5 games ago?
You know what? I would have more faith in the Carolina Hurricanes than you're giving them credit. They've consistently been one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the NHL this season, at least in terms of possession. Svechnikov, I guess to answer your question, they need to play Svechnikov more.
That is correct.
He impressed the hell out of me last time they played. And what an absolute animal. What a monster. Carolina's biggest problem, you know, even though, you know, goal scoring hasn't come as easily as maybe they'd hoped, is stopping pucks. And it looks like you finally have an answer, maybe sort of, kind of, in Curtis McElhaney. It's always an adventure, eh? You guys finally get out from under Cam Ward, and you have the trio of Scott Darling, Peter Mrazek, and McElhaney doing his best Tim Thomas impression, except people like him. Like, how did you pull this off?
I don't know. I'm convinced that someone has thrown a curse over the PNC Arena property, because I looked, I saw some outlet tweeted out the 10 teams with the lowest save percentage, and in there I see right now the Flames. Hey, that's Bill Peters. Cool. Glad he's not with us anymore. And I see the Blackhawks on the list. Like, hey, cool. That's Cam Ward. He's not with us anymore. Hell, we're not really any better as far as the wins go. So, yeah, Steve, I don't know what's going on here, if they think they can just scrap together like the world's worst Optimus Prime and that will somehow stop pucks. It makes no sense to me. I know they went out and paid the money for Scott Darling after they traded for him as an RFA, and that just didn't work out. I don't know what the Canes need to do, because McElhaney, you know, you talked about Patrick Marleau being really old. McElhaney's not all that much younger. He can't be the long-term solution, so I don't know what is. Is there anybody else that you guys can give us from the Leafs who may be a promising young goaltender?
No.
They've,
you know what?
They've waived them all this year, Derek.
The decision to go with Garrett Sparks, I know, was a tough one. But, I mean, he's in his mid-20s and McElhaney's in his mid-30s, and everyone sort of played the odds and went, what are the odds he's going to continue to play the best hockey of his career in his mid-30s? None of us thought the answer was pretty good. But, you know, it turns out he's continuing what he did last year. You know, you said Optimus Prime in there, and I'll tell you, there's two goalies who are struggling like hell this season, and they're making roughly the same amount of money, and I think they have roughly the same amount of term. I wonder if there could be a change of scenery trade going on, and I know this is just my bias, maybe a little bit of Scott Darling for James Reimer. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. A little Optimus Rhyme up in here.
I mean, look, there's a chance that Reimer could ever play a game for the Canes again without emergency happening, and I don't see that happening for Darling again, much as we would love to, just, if nothing else, for the story of where he came from to make it back to the NHL.
I mean, Darling plays his best when no one believes he can play. So maybe he's going to come back and you'll have two McElhaneys on your hands. I think you just got to send him down to the SPHL and he'll rock it up the ranks and be a starter for you again.
I look forward to that happening in 5 years. But in the immediate future, we have the return of quite possibly the one player not named J.P. Dumont, who has owned the Carolina Hurricanes more than any other player. That is the one, the only, the Jonathan Tavares experience. What's changed in JT's game? And are we... what's the line we're going to see when Tavares comes in? Does that mean it's going to be Tavares, Marner, and somebody else that nobody cares about? Because Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to do? Save us. Hold me, Steve.
Well, so that line is a point of contention in Toronto, but people have largely shut up about it because they score all the time. So what that line has been from the first game onward is Tavares in the middle, Marner on the right, and Zach Hyman on the left. So you sort of nailed it in your description. The problem is, you know, while everyone sleeps on Zach Hyman, he's a bloody animal. And what he does is he crashes the net, and he's just like the hardest worker on the ice, and you can't ignore him. And what will happen on occasion is, one, he'll either screen the goalie, or two, they'll double team him because he's just such an animal. And they'll forget, oh, shoot, right, Tavares and Marner are on the ice. And then that frees up space for them. And then you see your life flash before your eyes. They're such a lethal duo, Marner and Tavares. Tavares is laughing. Like, he's probably thinking he should have signed in Toronto for less. Because with Marner, he's scoring the easiest goals of his entire career. He's got some pretty moves and he's had some great plays. But, you know, this guy's not... like Evgeny Kuznetsov. He goes in there, he's not too flashy, and all he does is bang in goals for mine and his hockey team, and it's the best thing ever, and I love it.
Steve, we know you're a busy man, so we won't keep you much longer between the podcast that you do, all the LFR videos, being on Sportsnet, and finding time to tweet with idiots like us. You keep a busy schedule. Last question I have for you. How many more games do the Leafs have to win in the regular season this year before you start planning a parade route, in at least in pencil?
Buddy, I can't even plan a... Well, first of all, I've had the parade route penciled in my head for years and years, and I've already told my wife
I'm going to be missing for 3 days. If I'm not back by the 4th, call the police. But I, the plan is to basically stay up for 3 days straight. 3 days straight. I know where I'm going to go. But, geez, I just want them to get out of the first round. And it's easier said than done because last I checked, the standings were Tampa 1, Leafs 2, Buffalo 3. So what that means is the Spurs, despite finishing third, would have the displeasure of facing the second-place team in the league, and they wouldn't even get home ice advantage. And the Leafs, despite finishing second, would have to play the third-place team. So it's a bloodbath. If the Leafs can make it out of the first two rounds, that's when I'm going to start, forgetting pencil. I'm going to be carving that into stone. Because whoever wins the Atlantic has a really good shot at winning the Cup.
Look, if your boys play Buffalo, you will find two new huge Leafs fans in the first round, in myself and Mike.
Oh, my God, a renewed hatred from my childhood. I hated any team that beat the Leafs in the playoffs, so I'm looking at you, jerks. But you only did it once, I think. Buffalo, I hated. Philly, I hated. And New Jersey, I hated. So go Leafs, go.
Yeah, go Leafs, go. Folks, he is at Steve_Dangle over on the Bird Machine. Find him on YouTube, the Steve Dangle channel. There is the Daily Dangle over on sportsnet.ca. There is the Pagano Pizza Steve Dangle podcast. And I'm pretty sure that there is a midnight infomercial of Steve hawking an Instant Pot somewhere. He is quite possibly the busiest man in hockey, not named Jeff Merrick, but congratulations. I think that's we're not in Canada, so we didn't realize you were doing the Hockey Central on Saturday night. So that's if my media history calls me correctly, I believe that's where one Mr. Merrick, who we are the reason this whole podcast exists, is because he told us to do it. So Steve, thank you so much. Go Leafs, go tonight. Enjoy beating the hell out of Detroit, and we look forward to another sad LFR on December 12th.
Thank you very much, guys. Hey, pre-order my book. It's good.
And pre-order the Dangle book. We love it. Excellent. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
And again, a huge thank to Steve Dangle for joining us. If you go over to Amazon and you look Steve Dangle, you will find his book that is set to release March 19th. It's called This Team Is Ruining My Life. If Steve hadn't already stolen that phrase, that may be, our book. Derek?
Well, now I got to go workshop something different.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, also, I got to write a book.
Yeah, we also have to be as good as Steve Dangle at anything as he is at just cultivating a fan base. So again, congratulations to Steve.
They're gonna say like at anything. It's like I'm better at being 6'6" than he is. So take that, Steve. Yeah. Work harder at being taller.
Yeah. I was a lot wider than him at one point. I was girthy. And try to get girthy, Steve. I don't know. This is going to go bad. speaking of things going bad, you want to get deep into the LA and or Sanheim and
Sanheim
San Jose game, Derek.
Before is we- that if Travis Sanheim played for both Anaheim and San Jose?
So I just okay. West Coast road trip. Is it at least the Metropolitan Division is a complete steaming pile of horse poop. So that way, when we're having our West Coast road trip, just disaster, we're still only 1 point out of the third place.
Right. I don't understand that at all. So the LA game, cool. We lost to the worst team in the league.
We lost to the second greatest American goaltender currently in the National Hockey League, Jonathan Quick, mm-hmm. The greatest being the great American hero.
I think that was his 50th shutout of his career.
Yes.
So.
Might have been the 48th against us. I'm not sure.
Yeah, why not give him a milestone? Because Kovalchuk's not scoring. So, yeah, we lose to the Kings, the team that is DFL in the NHL standings. Hooray for that. And then I think
it's tough to win when you can't score, Derek.
I've heard that. And then we followed up with the most Hurricanes performance of the year. Here, allow me to read you the shots on goal per period. Mike.
Please do, Derek.
Mike. First period, Carolina Hurricanes 17. Second period, 12. Third period, 11. That's good for a total of 40 shots. That's a good total of shots. You should expect at least a couple goals out of that. Look, if you're thinking league average goaltending is just north of 900, then the Canes should have 3 goals in that game. Well, they didn't. They had 1. San Jose, in the first period, 9 shots, 7 in the second, 7 in the third. If you look at league average goaltending again, San Jose maybe have 2 goals or so, right? Because that's around a 9-10 save percentage. Well, no. San Jose beat the Hurricanes 5-1 in yet another game where the Hurricanes game the hell out of the Corsi just by throwing a hell of a lot of shots on net and allowing good chances the other way and not having league average goaltending. Mike, it's amazing how many different ways the Canes can tell the same story.
Derek, we've been banging on the drum of just give us league average goaltending and this team will be good. We opened up the year without league average goaltending and this team was delivering us goals and exciting 4-3 and 5-2 games, and the storm surge was here, and now we've legitimately scored 1 5-on-5 goal in the last 5 games. We've been shut out by the worst team in the league. We caned it up against a team. I mean, is there a larger dichotomy of post-game feelings than when we beat San Jose in the PNC Arena 5-2 versus the absolute Canes gonna Canes game last night in San Jose? I mean, we came out of that game with not only losing our current top line center, regardless of whether he's worthy of that position or not. Jordan Stahl's out of that game. Michael Ferland still out. I heard Curtis McElhaney left practice early today. Hopefully that's not an issue. Brett Pesce still, I still don't think has been reactivated. So It's a bit of the walking wounded, and it's walking wounded in the worst way.
Yeah, and speaking of worst, I was typing something today, and I forget exactly what I was writing, but I was writing the word Michael, and I spelled it with the E before the A, and I blame Michael Ferland for that.
Derek, I'm glad that you mentioned Michael Ferland.
Why is that?
Because I'm about to do something you don't want me to do. There was a tweet week 10 days or so ago, where I said, if the Canes don't start scoring, we might have to go back to something that worked once. Only once. I think it's being called for, Derek.
So for those who can't see what our faces look like right now, which is literally everyone not named me and Mike, I'm looking at him with a very puzzled look on my face. Mike, what the hell are you cooking up?
Derek, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Are you going to drink an IPA? Good God, Mike, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Derek, I've gone to Reddit.
Give it to me.
I've gone to Reddit.com.
Oh, no. No,
slash
no.
Canes fanfics.
No! Don't, Mike. Seriously, don't. No one wants this.
After a small breakfast of egg whites, spinach, yogurt, granola, and ham, Michael left his meeting. After a short ride, he arrived at a trendy executive center.
By the way, Mike, wait.
It was a sleek glass building with immaculate modern interior design.
Mike, I got to interrupt you here. The voice you're using right now, it's less sultry and more like Unsolved Mysteries reproduction. Like, I feel like William Shatner's going to cut in with the Rescue 911 reproduction of things. And here come the ambulances.
No expense.
Or Robert Stack is going to chime in and say, if you or anyone you know has information about why the Canes can't score a 5-on-5 goal, and then flash the 800 number. God, I didn't think you'd ever stop. Thank you, Mike.
Derek just completely covering that part where I was about to say, Michael Sferland shook hands with all of the men in the room.
With club sauce.
Canes, if you don't start scoring, I'm going to continue reading Canes fanfic. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to practices at RCI, stand on it, and read them aloud to you until you stop me. Do you know how you stop me, Canes? Score, damn it. Just score. Anaheim, Derek, what's the final score? Tell the people the game they're going to watch tonight.
Don't hit this because it's going to be 3-1 Anaheim.
Head coach Rod Brendan. No,
Mike. Okay, I didn't Mike, have nicknames hey, Mike, for. Hey, Mike. Mike. It's gonna be.
The
kids are gonna score three goals.
The meeting was to get to know
they'll
Michael
score,
on
they'll
his
score like
own
four goals,
turf.
Maybe Mike. Maybe they can score five. Who knows, Mikey? Maybe they can do it.
Mikey likes it. Hey, you know what else right. Mikey likes? Cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. Derek, first question. This one comes from MFlanagan00. Derek, why don't you guys read more fanfic on the podcast?
Because it's terrible.
Great. Next question.
Here's the next one. This is from our buddy Ben Moser, who has moved up north. Do you have a beer recommendation for when you intellectually understand that this team is different from the last several seasons, but in the pit of your cold, dark heart, so maybe this is for me, you're having trouble understanding that this team is different from the last several seasons?
I will allow the guy with a cold, dark heart to answer.
I think the beer recommendation is the highest alcohol percentage that your state will allow.
The correct answer there, Derek, is moonshine. The beer you drink is shine. And it's not shine that you like go to the store that's like cutely bottled. And no, you go to Johnston County and you go to our buddy the Weather Moose over at Sports Channel 8, and you're like, "Hey Moose, I need to talk to your uncle." And then Weather Moose's uncle, you know, Moose Uncle, drunk Moose Uncle, I'm assuming, knows a guy who can get you some of that good, good shine that comes from the guy who's just right outside of Benson, not in Benson, because, you know, that'd be against the rules, but like right outside of Benson. But he goes to the tractor pulls, and that's where you pick it up.
Yeah, and if it's not on a mason jar, send it back.
No. Ben, but to your point, we are not quite a third of the way through the season. The Carolina Hurricanes are only a point out, and there is still hope if this team can get healthy. Right now, I think the biggest person inside this organization I'm looking at is Don Waddell and Eric Tulski. I think you have to make a move inside this organization. We are playing from a position of power on the defensive back end. Find a way to leverage one of your assets to bring in a top six center. And I know that is going to be hard. I know it is going to be expensive. You have to find a way to give us some hope. The only way we're going to get hope is to improve the center position on this team. Derek, do you agree?
I completely agree. And because Turtleneck Night was canceled before based on varying circumstances, I think, Mike, that tell me if I'm wrong on this one. But if we get a top six center without completely mortgaging the backside of this team, maybe we do Turtleneck Night.
I like Turtleneck Night. Derek, I actually have a question here for you. This one is from at Caniac Kid. Will, who is no longer a kid, as his Twitter profile says, outside of McDavid, Crosby, Matthews, and Ovechkin, if the Canes could add one player, who do you think that player is to get them over the hump? I like this. This is a very broad question. Mm-hmm. One player outside of those kind of big ones, what's the one player who could make a big enough impact to get this Carolina Hurricanes team over the hump?
Boy, if you asked us in 2014, both of us would have said Matt Duchene.
Right.
Things have changed a little bit, and I'm not going to have that as my answer. So one player to get this team over the hump. I think you need to have a center. You need to have a playmaking center. I don't know if you... I personally include him in this upper echelon of players, but I don't think he's regarded by casual hockey fans in the McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin category. So I'm going to say it. Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, that was my guy.
Nathan MacKinnon is the guy. His speed, his skill, the fact that he plays center. I can't wait to see how he'd be on the left wing of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Well played. And again, I too was thinking MacKinnon. I think the other guy you look to is Nikita Kucherov. I mean, Kucherov. You throw Kucherov, Svechnikov, and warm body out there. Jeebus.
Yeah.
I also like the idea of somebody who is. I'll take one other guy, and this might actually be the perfect player. And we'll never get him because he's not leaving. Mark Scheifele.
Huh.
You take a player like Mark Scheifele. Look at what he has done for Patrick Laine's game. Think about what he could do with somebody like Svech.
So you would take Shifley over. Let's say you're offered for the same exchange. Let's say it's Brett Pesci first round and a first round pick. I know that's not a realistic return. Please don't at us with that. But let's say that's the return, and you are going to get either Nathan MacKinnon or Mark Shifley. Which one do you take?
Oh. Heart says MacKinnon, head says Shifley. I'll let Pat Clark tell me which one is the right answer.
Okay.
Because Pat is smarter than us. Derek, what else do you got for us?
This is from Meg, and Meg would tell you the right answer is don't mess with the Avs. What do you want the new Seattle team to be called? And related question, which may be better for folks like Pat and Mr. Workrate, who know the CBA much better. Related question, how screwed are the Canes for the next expansion draft?
So for the name, I know what I personally want, and I know why it can't happen. I believe they should be called the Seattle Squatch.
Mm-hmm.
But the Oklahoma City Thunder still owned the trademark to the Seattle Squatch because he was the former the former mascot for the Seattle Supersonics. If there was a way to acquire that, I think calling them the Seattle Squatch would be a ton of fun. If I were to actually pick a name that I would love, I want them to be called the Seattle Metropolitans. I want to be the Mets. I want them to go back to that retro red and black. I think that would be fun. I don't think that's where they're going to land. But if I can't have the Squatch or the Mets, I don't care.
So, here you go, because you mentioned the red and the black, would you be okay with them being the Metropolitans if they wore a color scheme that was more in line with the Seahawks and the Mariners in that Pacific Northwest green and blue?
You mentioned the green and blue, and I was actually listening to ESPN Radio last night, Spain and Fitz, which is on like 8 to 10 or 6 to 10 or something like that.
Who cares?
But Fitz was actually saying, wouldn't it be great if the Seattle team could become the Seattle Whalers, where they actually whales, and they could actually figure out a way to be green and blue, just like the Seahawks, and immediately have a built-in fan base. Tom Dundon would have to be paid a metric shit ton for that. But you know what? George Shinn sold the rights to the Hornets back to Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Maybe they become the Seattle Whalers.
I am here for that day on Twitter. Give me all, like, just hook that directly into my veins. I've seen a bunch of team names thrown out. The Totems is kind of a fun one.
The Easter eggs is the obvious answer.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen though. But the Totem,
if they put it out to an internet vote, it will.
The Totems is okay. Just don't do a 2-word team name. I know the Golden Knights got to the playoffs with it, but I don't like an adjective with my team name. Just have a noun. Just do that. I don't care what it is beyond that. Just do that and have your logo and uniforms not suck.
Yeah. Here was an interesting conversation. If they go red and black, that would be yet another red and black team in the league.
No.
Do the Carolina Hurricanes, as part of their future non-discussed logo team overhaul, potentially change colors?
I would think it's a potential. The only reason I would say right now that it's unlikely that we would change from red and black, and it's an additional cost, but I know we have an owner who's a billionaire who doesn't mind spending money, is they just redid all the seats in the upper bowl of the PNC Arena. And while you could look at Boston and go, oh boy, the Celtics play in an arena and the seats were yellow for years because, you know, the Bruins or whatever the hell they decided to do that in the Boston Garden, I don't see them breaking up the red and black that's here. But if there is a rebrand coming for the Canes in the next few years, which I wouldn't be shocked by, I would like that whoever is given the reins to that design to have carte blanche and not say you have to find something that works with black, white, and red.
Okay. All right. Sure.
What, you don't like that answer?
Yeah, it's an answer.
Wait.
It's an answer.
No, what? 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 Let's talk it out, Mike.
No, it's not. It's
No.
I don't care. I literally don't care. I just changing the colors will not result in more 5-on-5 goals. It will not result in us getting Nathan MacKinnon or Mark Shifley.
But what if it did? I mean, it won't. But what if it did?
Jim Rutherford would have done it a long time ago, but then signed it to a 22-year contract.
With a no trade clause.
With a no trade clause. No trading of jerseys.
Welcome to the ice for the second period. Your Carolina La Roses.
Covered in salmon. Anyway, next question, Derek.
Gross.
Let's go to K to the Arl. Little F Mary Kill. Bill Peters Blendomatic. Rod Brendamore's Chiseled in Stone lineup card, or just pulling names out of a hat.
Oh God. That's good. That's a good question, Carl. Thank you for that one. All right. I am going to kill the Blendomatic. I hate that most of all because you don't give things time to work themselves out. Let's say two players are new to playing with one another and they need to develop timing and who's going to be where. And you juggle that, you know, one shift to the next. You don't give them time to gel. So kill that one. I'm going to... Oh God, this is where it gets kind of tough. I'm going to... I don't know, Mike. I don't like these.
That's what makes it a good F. Mary kill.
It does. I'm going to marry Brendamore's Chiseled in Stone because there's enough special teams to make things work, allegedly. And maybe guys can find things that work. And maybe if you have enough talented guys that it can work itself out if you have the Chiseled in Stone and they'll find a way to make it work. And pulling names out of a hat, while it's fun to talk about and on Twitter and speculate, and I'm sure that, you know, the hat of names could come up with better lines than we have
hat
right now.
Hat of nonsense. Trademark Adam and Joe.
Yeah. That's the way I'm going to go. So I will kill Bill Peters' theory. I will... F the names out of a hat, and as begrudgingly as possible, I'm going to marry what Brandy's doing.
Yeah. I will, I hate to break it to you, Carl. It's not the lineup. It's the talent at the center position, which is killing this team. Derek, you got one last one for me before we let these folks go and tell them about this beautiful beverage you're drinking?
I have one more. It's from our buddy Al Hood, and he has another F Mary Kill for us, which is very relevant to the weather we may be facing here in North Carolina this weekend. F Mary Kill. Drop my phone. Where the hell am I? F Mary Kill. Snow.
Okay.
Sleet.
Okay.
Freezing rain.
Easy. You kill freezing rain because no one can drive in freezing rain, and that is impossible. I will marry snow because, much like being married, I want to roll around on you, but every so often. And then I guess that means I am effing the sleet because, you know, F sleet.
Well, yeah. I mean, sleet, sleet. Yeah, that's the right answer. You marry the snow.
But you went all sleet, sleet. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that path. And I'm so disappointed in myself. Yeah. I'm like, I'm a second line center for the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm like, I mean, it was right there for the taking.
No.
And I just left it there.
No.
So, Derek, congratulations to you.
Thank you, sir.
Or as the kids would say, all sleet, sleet, mofo. Tell the folks about this beautiful beverage that you're drinking for Bottle Mix.
Hell yeah. So, Bottle Mix, you know where they're located. You read my high effort blog post that I put out yesterday on section328.com of things you can do in under 100 minutes. One of them being walk the 3-ish miles from Crabtree Valley Mall up Creedmoor Road, take a left, and you'll see Bottle Mix up there. So that's where they're located, on Creedmoor Road. Go see them for all of your holiday beverage needs. If you're hosting a party or hosting family, either way, you'll probably need some beer and or wine. Talked with Bruce. And I said, I need something good. It's going to be cold. It's going to be nasty this weekend. What's a good dark beer that I can drink tonight that people can come your way and say, hey, dark I listen to the Cheaters Never Win podcast. I want what Derek was drinking. And he said, Derek, I've got a few cases of this 10W40.
What? You should not drink 10W40.
No. Wait. I read the label.
Okay.
It wasn't made by Pennzoil. It was made by High Wire Brewing.
Oh, okay. All right. Please, go ahead.
Yeah. Because at first I had that reaction. I'm like, sir, are you trying to kill me? No. This is High Wire's Imperial Stout brewed with coffee, chocolate, and vanilla. Those are three things I like in an Imperial Stout.
Go on.
It has coffee from Dynamite Roasting, which I forget where they are located, but I've had other beers brewed with Dynamite Roasting coffee, and I've truly loved those beers. And this one is added to that list. I took a picture of it. I may tweet it out later if I remember, but Mike held this in front of the light And it absolutely passed the Mike Flanagan light test.
No light escaped. I literally put it on top of the bulb in the goblet glass that it is in, and no light escaped. The room actually dimmed, which is what I look for in a good beer.
Yeah, it pours nearly a jet black color. It has a little bit of foam on it when you pour, and that little bit of a ring of the head of the beer stays on this.
Nice lacing.
There you go. Look at those terms.
Look at that.
The aromas on this, like as soon as you pour it in the glass, it's rich, it's roasty, you get coffee, you get chocolate, you get vanilla, like everything that's on the label is so present in that beer, but it just smells rich and smooth and creamy and delicious and warming, and it's 8% alcohol, so it's on the higher side without being so high alcohol that it's like, whoa, there's a lot of booze here, or you can't enjoy anything else that evening because it's a 13% alcohol beer. No, this one's fantastic, and it just tastes so good. Sometimes when a stout has all these different flavors in it, it can either kind of be too jumbled up, or the alcohol is not in line. It either tastes thin, or you have to get a knife and fork basically to appreciate the beer. This is not that way. Yeah, Mike loves the knife and fork beers. This is just, it's smooth, it's tasty. If you're one of those people who doesn't like the bourbon barrel-aged beers because they're too oaky or too vanilla-y, or you like bourbon, you like beer, you don't like them together, this is good for you because it is just, it's coffee, it's just dark, roasty notes balanced out by vanilla. Absolutely delicious. I truly can't wait to go back and buy more of this. I hope Bottle Mix still has some left because it's only like $3-ish dollars for a 16-ounce can of this beer. It should be a hell of a lot more.
Derek, I can tell you right now, I will be going to Bottle Mix and buying a 4-pack of the Highwire 10W40 before Snowpocalypse happens. So that way, while I'm sitting here enjoying my milk toast, I could also be enjoying a nice 10W40. This absolutely gets a Mike Flanagan stout 2 thumbs up. 2 light bulbs down, which is one of the highest ratings you can absolutely get from a beer. So thank you to Bruce and the gang over at Bottle Mix for suggesting this, because I thoroughly enjoyed this beer, and we hope you do as well.
Yeah, so if you want this, go to Bottle Mix, tell them Section 328 sent you, you want the beer of the week, and I hope you get there before Mike does and doesn't buy them out of everything. And again, beer. Let's say you go in and buy some of this 10W40, you are part of the way entered into the 328 sponsor challenge. The other step is get in touch with Don at @Kaniac_realtor on Twitter.
Respect the underscore.
And buy a house from Don.
or let Don sell your house.
Yeah, either way, it's real simple.
Right.
Just let Don be involved in your house transaction.
And then be wearing a piece of the Section 328 merch while finishing that transaction, while having a Bottle Mix beverage poured. So a picture, you know, in your new house, that Don sold you, wearing the t-shirt with the beer, or, you know, at your lawyer's office collecting your paperwork after you helped sell the house.
Yeah. Or, you know, with a bottle of wine from Bottle Mix.
Exactly.
Whatever. It's real simple. We're not asking a lot.
And we don't know what the prize is, but I'm sure it is going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Much like our guest tonight. Again, thank you to Sarah Sivian from The Athletic Carolina. Thank you to Steve Dangle from literally everywhere in Canada, Sportsnet.
Is he in Banff?
He may be.
Is there a town that's more, or a place in Canada that's more fun to say than Banff?
Yes.
I know it too.
No, thanks to Steve. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to everybody who has purchased just Christmas gifts over at the Section 328 store, section328.com/store. That'll get you over there, so that way you can check out all of the great t-shirts and other things that we have over there. If you're not into buying Section 328 merch, but you want to help out the podcast a little bit, go over to section328.com, read a couple of articles, check out some of Meg's Hurricane watches, and then click on that Buy on Amazon button before you go buy some more Christmas gifts for cousins who won't really appreciate them this holiday giving season, but that throws a couple of pennies into the 328 coffers and helps us prep for what is going to be a rather expensive trip to Vancouver for the draft this year. But we're committed to getting there, and we appreciate you guys helping.
Yeah, and for those of you, if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe on whichever platform you're listening. It helps us out. Leave a review. Let other people know that you enjoyed this Hurricanes podcast. That helps more Canes fans find this podcast. If you really love the podcast, hit that subscribe on Patreon button on section328.com. We have a lot of good rewards there. We are trying to figure out more ways that we can add more value for our patrons, but a lot of it includes free merch. Or I guess it's not really free, but it's a reward of merch of multiple shirts per year. So if you do want the merch, support us on Patreon, and we'll send you a few shirts of your choosing.
Also, if you happen to get an Amazon Alexa during this holiday season, you can listen to the Cheaters Never Win podcast directly on your Alexa. All you have to do is say, Alexa, play the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
Look at that.
The latest episode of Cheaters Never Win will pop up on your Alexa. We are working on an Alexa skill to be part of your daily flash briefing. Shout out to our sister brother podcast, Cheaters Never Pin. That would be Mr. Worker. Great and JC, who are out there talking about wrestling. You can actually say, Alexa, activate Cheaters Never Pin skill, and that Cheaters Never Pin wrestling update will be in your flash briefing every day. So we're trying to do more for you guys. Gosh, we just wish the team was scoring more so that way it would give us something fun to talk about. Derek, we have things to talk about, but we're going to talk about those off the air. Back on Kane's Fanfics.
No!
Till next time, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we are out of here.
Pew!